G'day race fans. Well, after a quick turnaround, the Dutch Grand Prix is behind us and we move on to Monza. Italy, spaghetti, pizza, Kimi Antonelli, plenty of drivers under pressure and, well, even Ferrari, they need to perform. And of course, the championship battle continues and can Lando bounce back after the DNF? Mick, mate, you have a little bit of Italian in you, mate. Like, how do you feel about this one? Do you consider this one a home race?
One of my home races, let's say. Now, you're right, man. There's, I think, massive pressure on Ferrari this weekend. I think a lot of pressure on Vasseur too. But I want to see what kind of Lando Norris we get this weekend, because I think, well, he has no choice now. He needs to go to another level, a level that he's probably never been to before.
Yeah, totally agree. Massive one for Ferrari. But perhaps Charles Leclerc can take a little bit of confidence out that he was a race winner here last year. As far as Pirelli, nothing's changed. Same compounds, C3, C4, C5. Last year's results, well, Charles did win on a one-stopper, but it was a bit of a mixed bag across the grid. And as far as weather, look, it doesn't look like we're going to get any rain. We were teased a lot of rain last weekend, but it looks to be nice and sunny, maybe a little bit of cloud cover, but what, 25 degrees? Well, how about we do something a little bit different today? Let's lead in with Ferrari, the home team. Tifosi will be pumped for it. Mate, they need a big result. I mean, the double DNF out of the Dutch Grand Prix last time out. Lewis Hamilton, clumsy mistake. Charles Leclerc was taken out by the Antonelli missile. So, big bounce back. What do you think we're going to see from Ferrari this weekend?
Look, already Lewis is going to be on the back foot. He's got the 5-place grid penalty. He just needs to drive through the field on Sunday, starting from the back of the 10 there. It's massive pressure, but it's probably good in a way, because I think all the focus will be on Charles. Now, from Charles's side, it's a good opportunity to lead that team, right? Because all the focus will probably be solely on him, because he will probably be their best chance of winning this weekend. So I think it's a real opportunity mentally for Charles to get that team in and around behind him and make sure that team's solely focused on him.
The good thing is that Monza is a track that leads to overtaking. So there are overtaking opportunities. So definitely, if you are going to be pegged back a bit, this is the track to be on.
And that car definitely has a straight line advantage. So straight line and traction are probably your two biggest things for Monza. And Ferrari, low downforce will be slippery. The biggest thing is, how low can they get that car? Because if it's not low, and we've seen they've had to lift and coast and plank wear has been a real issue, they could be in a bit of trouble. I don't think they'll have enough to win this weekend. Massive weekend for Lewis, for Charles. This is Charles's opportunity to get the team behind him and go, look, I'm the number one driver here. If you listen to Vasseur, his comments during the week after the Dutch Grand Prix, he was actually quite buoyed by Ferrari's pace. He was like, we actually have good pace. It's just that type of circuit and the position we were in, obviously with the not so great qualifying, we couldn't actually show the pace. But if it's true, I mean, that gives me confidence that Ferrari can turn it around. Lewis can turn it around.
Reckon podium?
Oh, no doubt. I actually think they'll be probably the second best car.
Okay.
Especially here, man. Low drag. It's all about straight line speed, DRS. That thing's a weapon in a straight line. So,
well, it's a big one. So it'd be something worth looking at. And if you are a Ferrari fan, well, my fingers are crossed for you that it's not as stressful as last time out. Aaron, battle continues. 34-point lead now for Oscar Piastri. He's got some breathing room, so perhaps a little bit of pressure off his shoulders, but I don't think he approaches the race any different. Lando, though, he just can't afford to have an off. He needs to be locked in. Look, if Piastri goes on, wins a race, Lando just needs to be bang, second. It's probably going to be tit for tat until Abu Dhabi. In my eyes, I just can't see now the team really mixing up with the McLarens. They're so far ahead.
They're gone.
It's going to be extremely intriguing to see how Lando Norris can bounce back from this position.
McLarens are the team to beat here this weekend. Lando's going to have a fresh engine, massive advantage. We are going to see Lando go to a whole new level, a level he's never been to before. It's like, how bad do you want this, man? You have to go get it, if that makes sense. Like, you can't sit back and drive and hope for Oscar to get a failure or a DNF. Because that may not come. So the only way you're going to get this championship now is you have to annihilate Oscar every race. You have to beat him every weekend. I think Oscar now, you switch more into championship mode, so you don't take the big risks, maybe with strategy or trying to make a crazy pass to win a race. It's going to be hard for Lando to reel those 34 points back in, even if he gets a couple of wins and Oscar finishes second. As long as Oscar's scoring points, it just gets harder and harder each race for Lando to crawl that gap back.
Plenty of points left on the table, though. Plenty. Yeah. We've still got some sprint weekends coming.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anything can happen. Like, it's definitely not over. But I think when you think in terms of Lando's going to have to go earn this now, and I think that's just going to be epic to see.
Yeah, going to be immense. Absolutely immense. Now, speaking of pressure, Kimi Antonelli over at Mercedes.
It's going to be tough for him this weekend, man. Just mentally, the mental side is going to be massive. Look, the incident last time out, I sort of thought about it and I was like, it happens, man. Like, that can happen to anyone. When you think about it, he was racing the Ferrari, and that constructors battle between Ferrari and Mercedes, you know.
It's tight.
When you take McLaren out of it, now that's the battle, second and third. And we know how much money that's worth. Formula One is a business. So they're racing for money now. And you've been on the back foot a little bit. So in your mind, you're seeing a Ferrari, which you know you've got to finish ahead of for the constructors. You want to do a good job for your team. You want to show that you're an asset. So you've just seen the Ferrari, red mist. And all it was, man, is he just went in too hot. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Like, if
you've
seen
tons of drivers do very similar things.
That's what
things.
I mean. Like, it's just an average mistake. So the rookie side of it was he was just too aggressive.
Yeah, I think people are a little bit harsh in the media. And I think that is more to do with, you know, he came in to replace none other than Lewis Hamilton at a top team. So as when you look at the rookies as a whole, pressure seat, right?
Yeah, because he's being compared now to Hajar. And then you're seeing Gabby now, what Gabby's doing. He's doing a solid job. And, you know, they're in teams that are classes lower than Mercedes. So you're looking at that and you're going, well, how come he's not beating them every weekend? He should be. He's in a better car.
Chances this week. Do you think they're worth a podium? Does Russell just do nothing all race and end up P3? Like, where do you see them?
Russell's out here just maximizing the car every weekend. If that car's in good enough for third, he'll be third. If the car's good enough for sixth, he'll be sixth. Wherever that car's good for, he's there.
Yeah, he's an ultimate extractor.
Yeah, like, man, it's like ridiculous. Really, the battle's going to be between them, Ferrari, and Red Bull, really, isn't it? I think McLaren are just going to see it.
Yeah, I can't see anyone knocking Mercedes. Oh, sorry,
McLaren. I don't know if they have the pace for a third. I think that's going to be probably between Max and Charles.
Possibly. Well, speaking about Max, Red Bull, nothing's changed here. I think for Max, I think we may see some pretty hectic starts from Max over the next few races. So, you know, hopefully
that's good,
he doesn't.
Though, right?
Yeah.
It's good that he's like, well, the championship's gone. Let's start on the softs. Let's try something different. Let's see if we can shake him up a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's not like, oh, well,
I mean, that race started out last time out was pretty hectic. And I sort of expect him to, you know, really take his chances off the grid. But yeah, I just have this like little feeling that he just may, by mistake, of course, I'm not saying anything malicious, but he just may be a little bit over aggressive and he just might tangle up with the papaya boys. And can you imagine if he accidentally took out Piastri? We know he has a friendship with Lando. The conspiracy theories will just be running wild. Everyone loves a good conspiracy theory.
He'd be going off his head, mate.
Oh, mate, it'll be unbelievable. Yuki Tsunoda, he's the interesting one. Nothing really much has changed there. Yes, he got some points last time out with a P9, but the issue was not being able to get into Q3. He's, he's running out of Grand Prix to prove himself. I know that there's been a lot of warm talk amongst Red Bull management, but then we see Isaac Hadjar put in an absolute stonking performance, hit the P3, podium, and I think it's the first time a Red Bull driver has scored a podium in their rookie year. Possibly. Did Max get one for Toro Rosso? No.
No, I don't.
No, I don't think so.
I remember him getting one for Toro Rosso.
No, I don't. I don't. So, Yuki, big opportunity here. because I think the Red Bull car will go okay. I have a feeling it's going to go okay. So I think this may be the big opportunity for Yuki to put in a big one.
He's got to aim up, right? You've got to prove you're an asset. He's not proven he's worth keeping his seat. Simple as that. That's the harsh reality of it. We want to see, we like Yuki, we want to see him stay. We don't like to see him struggle. But the truth is, he's not doing what he needs to do to stay in that seat. And I don't see him being picked up by another team. I think there's too many other good young drivers out there on the team's radar. Everyone's looking for the next big talent. Yeah. You've been given a shot in a big team. Unfortunately, this is what you've got to work with to save your career. So you need to somehow figure out how to make it work. Because, yeah, at the moment, I don't think he's doing enough.
Yeah, I still maintain that he's in a real tricky zone as far as how many years experience he has now.
Yeah,
because, exactly. You know, if he was only 1 or 2 years into his career, you'd say, well, you know, perhaps the team would take a pun out of him because you know, he does show speed at times.
Yeah.
But now it's his fifth year, I think it is.
Fifth or sixth year, yeah.
Yeah, so he's sort of at that point where it's like, well, you know, our team's looking at him and going, he's at his ceiling. He's hit his ceiling. You know, like there's not much more we're going to get out of him. He's not going to surprise us. So I think that is essentially the double-edged sword for Yuki. So it really comes down to these final few races. He just needs to, he needs to pull something out, you know, make a huge improvement before I sort of see any other team possibly picking him up. I mean, his best case scenario, we've discussed it, is potentially the Honda partnership with Aston Martin and perhaps a reserve driver role. But again, Let's see what happens. Yeah.
Q3, big bag of points every weekend. Red Bull are probably looking at fourth place in the constructors, right? Just off Max's back alone. Max is doing all the heavy lifting. At some point, that lifting's going to get too much. And I just think, if you can't show that you're helping carry the load, you're not worth anything to the team.
I know who the muscle is, and that's potentially Isaac Hadjar. So Racing Bulls. That podium was a stonker, and I just think he will, from this point, like I still think it's going to be a really tight battle between him and Liam, but I just think for Isaac is that podium must give him so much belief.
You'd be so bouncing around, get me back in that car, man. It's on. Let's go. I can do
you
this
mean,
shit, man.
You mean get me back into the Racing Bulls car, not the Red Bull car?
Get back into the racing. No, exactly. But he must be, man. He must be bouncing off the walls and itching to get back in that car. And that's the beauty of having double headers, triple headers. He gets 5 day, 6 day turnaround and he's back into it. And like you said, I think, mate, the confidence he would have got off that.
Massive.
The only way is up, man.
And the thing is, even if he has a bad result this weekend out, he just has a tendency to be able to bounce back. So it hasn't been sort of like some of maybe the other rookies where they'll just sort of get into like a little bit of a lull, low confidence, and then it's a struggle for them to get out of the hole. Just seems like Hadjar might make a mistake, bad race. There's a quick turnaround for him to bounce back. It doesn't seem to be that he just falls into a ditch and he has to sort of crawl his way out. It's like, I'm in the ditch and he just puts on his rocket shoes and he's good to go.
He's off it again, yeah.
And that's what I really like about him.
Wilson, I think, needs to do?
Well, I think he's fine. I think he's got his mojo back. He was fast out last race out. He's put together now some back-to-back Q3s, point scoring. I think he would have gone for a good result, to be honest, in Zandvoort. I think he was running P6 at the time when he had the run-in with Carlos there. So there were big points on the table for him. The Racing Bulls, that was probably their best weekend as far as where both cars were placed, qualifying in the race.
Yep.
I think he's okay. I think he'll bounce back. I actually think this will be a track that he'll go pretty well at.
Suit the car, you reckon?
I don't know. Do you think they have the top end? They seem to have top end, right? The racing.
I think they're pretty quick. When you look at Zandvoort, man, you would have to say that they were probably the third quickest car that weekend.
Yeah. Well, when you look at Hadjar,
very close to it.
When you look at Hadjar, he qualified in fourth, and it was just a smidgen quicker than what Lawson did in Q2, because that was what Lawson was really disappointed about, was he couldn't match his pace in Q3. So if you take both of those times, yeah, I mean, they were basically, what, the third quickest car out there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
you know, when you look at both.
I think they've got some sneaky speed, man, that car.
Yeah.
In that car. It's just speed-wise a little bit under the radar.
Yeah.
And I think they've got the potential definitely to hassle Ferrari, Mercedes, and even Red Bull.
Boy, if you look at, I mean, based on last week, you would expect them to factor. I mean, I do expect them both to be probably in Q3.
Yeah.
Again, I just don't know if they're going to be sort of that higher end also.
You reckon they'll be quicker than the Williams around here? Because Williams are notoriously slippery.
Yeah. Yeah, tough one. Because Williams are due for a big one.
The only thing I could see, the advantage, say we're looking at Racing Bulls versus Williams, is we are going to hotter temperatures. And the Williams doesn't like the hotter temperatures, so.
Williams are hard, man. Like, it felt to me the beginning of the season, they were pretty consistent. Since the middle of the season up until now, it's been very much on the cusp. But then I don't know if that's because of poor strategy. You know, we've seen Albon be affected quite a few times in qualifying, in his final runs, etc. And then Sainz has had, you know, quite a lot of bad luck. So, yeah, it's a tough one, Monza, because it's a, you know, it's one of those tracks now we go to where we've just come off two, you could say, sort of trick, like, well, Hungary is high downforce. You're not really,
we're like basically
opposite ends of the scale. Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. Generally, over all the tracks, doesn't really matter which side of the scale you are. That midfield battle has always just remained super tight.
Tight, yeah.
So you know, you might be off by one or two tenths, and it's like, well, that's a difference from say P5 up to P12, P13 type thing. So the only time I can remember a team being way off was Aston Martin at Spa, but I mean, if you believe the rumors, it was probably more of an internal muck up with the package they bought rather than the car itself. So Williams, they need to consolidate that P5 and the constructors, and they have a few teams now starting to breathe down their necks, and you've banged on about it so many times about these midfield teams having to get double points. Yeah. And most of the midfield teams, it's been sort of one driver one week, another driver the other week. Williams, Carlos is the guy that's under the most amount of pressure. He'll come to Monza with a lot of support. The Ferrari faithful still really like him. He did a great job at Ferrari. I think he'll feel pretty comfortable amongst the atmosphere. And I think this might be a bit of a turning point for Carlos. I think we see a big one from him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if you look at last time out, man, he made a pretty decent step, right? He got himself in the Q3, which he hadn't done in a long time. Yes, he had to mix up with Lawson, but I think if you look at the weekend as a whole, it probably wasn't too bad. Albon, man, Albon's just another driver that's doing a lot of the heavy lifting. We're starting to see now him probably become a bit more of a leader. Like, when you listen to his radio messages, he's demanding more from the team.
Yeah, he's more authoritarian. He's far more authoritarian. He's a dictator. He's more.
I get what you're saying. Yeah,
I can't even get my words out. But yeah, there's more authority in his
the way he's
demeanor
speaking,
like, and the way he projects.
Yeah, and he's like, "Come on, boys! Like, you know, this is what needs to happen. This is what we need to fix."
We've lost the they raced me so hard, Albon.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've gone into the Alpha Bro, Albono.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think he's starting to see the potential of where the team's heading, right? I don't remember what I think.
That's called getting old, mate.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, so traditionally they are pretty slippery in a straight line. And like I said, I think between them and VCarb, they will probably be up there. I would say VCarb and Williams both in the top 10.
Oof. Somebody's got to miss out. Yeah, Aston Martin?
And I think it's going to be Aston.
Woo.
Because I just feel like Aston is a bit too draggy. Because we've seen on the highest downforce circuits, they're a team that is really good. Now we go back to the opposite end of the scale, and I think they might just be a little bit too draggy for a circuit like Monza.
But you don't think it'll be a Spa situation though, right? That far off. Well, he's thinking about it.
Oh. That's provided... what they were saying about everything, they were running the wrong parts on the car and stuff. If that's true, like, I mean, I don't even see how that is even freaking possible, but
I mean, humans make some errors, mate. It could happen. But they just, it seemed more believable because they were so far off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the issue. They were just, it was a massive swing in performance. And we'd seen with the upgrades, sort of like they were, you know, getting pretty damn good. And then bang, Spark comes along. So if it isn't an anomaly, well, then you'd sort of think, oh, well, Monza might be a little issue, potentially.
Yeah, that's the way I'm thinking. I'm like, if that isn't an anomaly and they really genuinely struggled, which I kind of feel like they do anyway on a low downforce setup, I think they're still a little bit too draggy. Yeah, I think they might struggle.
Because they had a good double points out last time out, and Sir Lancelot back in the lead.
Stroll, the team's number one, the number one driver in that team, he's quietly gone about his business, eh? Like, it's weird. It's like we're easy to give him shit when he makes a mistake, but he's actually done a pretty decent job.
Well, let's go Haas. We've got Ferrari engines in the back, right? So let's just.
But are they due for a shitter because they had a cracker?
Well, that's what I want to talk about, right? Ollie Bearman, career best P6 out, Ocon picking up points as well. We don't even have to say much.
19th and 20th.
Yeah, I think it just follows the pattern. It follows the pattern. I've got nothing else to say.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're exactly right. That's it. It's the pattern.
Okay, Alpine, Colapinto. You were pretty impressed with him last time out. And this is the track that he made his debut on last year when he replaced Logan Sargeant over at Williams. Can't make any excuses now. These are tracks he's familiar with from a Formula One perspective. He just needs that springboard. He had a pretty good time out in Canada. And then the following week, if I remember correctly, it wasn't a great one.
Yeah.
He just hasn't been able to string any good performances off the back of a good performance.
Yeah.
This is a big one for him. This is a big one for him because you would think he's taken some confidence out of that last one because he was on pace with Gasly. And that's basically all he needs to do now is he needs to keep it clean, no mistakes, keep the car in one piece, match Gasly. Basically, that's what all he needs to do.
With Gasly, if it's because the team and himself have basically acknowledged, look, 2025 is a write-off, nothing for us, because we are full focused on making sure we're ready for a championship attack in 2026. And I wonder if that sort of has shifted Gasly. There's not so much pressure. I wonder if that's just freed him up a little bit, and that's why we're seeing the really good, strong performances out of Gasly. With Colapinto, like, he got a bit of a bitch slap from Briatore, right? Before last weekend.
Just a little one.
But we saw a reaction, right? I think we saw a reaction. Now, Briatore came out as well recently and has acknowledged that he's under massive pressure. But at the same time, he says, it is what it is, mate. Like, you wanted a shot in F1. This is your shot. Do you want it? Because
this is it, mate. Single swim.
Make it work and you can stay in F1. If you don't, well, you've had your go and you can't say that you didn't have a crack.
He really needs to show now that he belongs in F1.
Well, now he's fighting for his career. He's not fighting to stay with Alpine because I don't think Alpine are going to keep him.
Yeah, I don't think so. Be pretty miraculous back end.
So now he's just fighting to stay in Formula One somewhere. But what I did like was last week, man, he was on. He was switched on. He was fast. He was aggressive. He was sticking it with Gasly. If you can do that now for the next 9 rounds, there's no reason you wouldn't get picked up by a team. But the biggest thing is you just can't make them mistakes. Do that without the mistakes, and I'm sure someone will pick you up.
Well, so far he hasn't been able to string two together, so this is the one. This is the time where he needs to do it. One team left, isn't there? And we've gone back to the originals. Poor old Kick Sauber. We used to always bring him up at the end. Do you think they can factor? Do you think that Sauber is a little slippery?
I do. I mean, if you look at somewhere like Spa that was a little bit on the lower downforce side, they did all right. Gabby, I think he got 2 ninth places, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so. That's right. We had the sprint race there, didn't we?
Yeah, so you had 9th in the sprint and 9th in the feature. So they'll be in and around the 10, I reckon.
All right, predictions. Your top 3 and the dark horse.
I'm actually going to go to Lando this weekend because he's got the fresher engine. That's going to be a massive advantage. Oscar for second. Oh, man, Max or Charles for third, eh? I don't know. I'm going to say Charles for third. I think the Tifosi will make a massive difference. Dark horse, Albon. I'm going to say Albon for fourth.
Oof. Yeah, you really think Williams is going to be slippery, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to throw that Williams up there in fourth. Let's see what happens. Probably going to be completely wrong.
Oh, mate.
Probably crash out in the first corner. Yeah.
My podium, same guys on the podium, but different order. I agree with you. I think Lando with a fresh engine, I think will just be at a circuit like Monza.
It's going to be massive.
Just gold.
Eh? Yeah.
So he needs to capitalize on that. I actually think Leclerc's going to get into second. I think Oscar
third. I don't disagree with that. I think,
yeah, I have a feeling it's not going to go quite to plan this week for Piastri. And my dark horse is, you know, I was about to say Behrman again, but he's in a Haas. There's just no way.
Well, he could.
No, he's not going to break the Haas 1 week Haas good, trend. 1 week bad.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to say Antonelli.
Yeah.
He's going to be the guy that I think is going to have a really great race, and it's going to be his coming-of-age race.
Moment. Yeah,
his defining moment for the season just flips a switch. Yeah, obviously, I'd love to see Lewis have a big one. I think his main focus will be out-qualifying Leclerc.
Because that will be
the first main target. But even if he doesn't, as long as he's there with him, I think that's a good thing. So, exciting weekend coming up. Let us know what you think in the comments below. I'd love to hear your thoughts on who your podium getters are and possibly the dark horse, or maybe even someone who you think is going to struggle, because there's always one. Mick, leave you with the last thoughts, last words.
No, let's get into it, man. Homer speed. Hopefully it's
mate,
not a DRS train.
I thought I was going to get a little bit of Italian out of you.
Well, until the next one, ciao.